Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today is going to be a really interesting show because we're going to be talking about consciousness, but we're going to be talking about it with a sense of humor. There are a plethora of books on consciousness, but none is quite like the new Amazon number one bestseller, Lord Have Murphy, Waking Up in the Spiritual Marketplace. It's a funny, sardonic commentary that's also a brilliant entree to a new level of consciousness unknown even to many people who have dabbled in meditation, mindfulness, and even yoga. The book's author, Fran Shaw, PhD, is a longtime practitioner in a spiritual discipline and an award-winning university writing instructor. Out of her fertile mind has popped Murphy, the star narrator of this journey, into this new level of awareness. And Murphy has a wry comment on everything. Fran is a professor the University of Connecticut. She's a professor at the University of Connecticut. And Lord Have Murphy, Waking Up in the Spiritual Marketplace, came about when Fran was on sabbatical wanting to write and looking at drawings by Bruce M. Sherman. Seeing the phrase, Lord Have Murphy, she typed the words, Murphy here, which unlocked a unique work on attention in the form of an illustrated humor book. So I'm going to let Fran tell you all about this book because she is just has an amazing sense of humor. So let me introduce you to my special guest today, the author of Lord Have Murphy, Fran Shaw. Good morning, Fran.
Hi, Randy. So nice to speak with you.
So nice to speak with you, too. Thank you for being my guest today. This is wonderful. We're going to have fun.
It's a pleasure, truly.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so why don't you tell us about Murphy and what his whole take on consciousness is?
This voice that sort of came upon me when I was, you know, on sabbatical trying to write a book, because you have to do that when you're on sabbatical from the university, and I was actually sitting not far from where you live in Florida by the ocean, and I was trying to write a book. And so this voice, when I was really having trouble writing because everything that I was writing just was sounded so teachy and preachy. And I mean, it was really like making spinach out of this subject because, you know, if you understand, and certainly you do, and I'm sure listeners do, when there are moments in my life of actually an elevated state, higher consciousness, coming out of yoga class, walking by the ocean, things like that, it's such a joyous feeling, you know. It's so I just didn't like I couldn't seem to find the right words. And so I was looking at these drawings by Bruce Sherman, and they're very witty. They're almost like those John Lennon drawings, if you know what that reference is.
Right.
And so when I wrote Lord Have Murphy, all of a sudden this voice came out. And Murphy, this voice came out, was talking about how, you know, the difficulty with writing about higher consciousness is that, you know, you're talking about the mystery, but you're putting your hands all over it, or you're lost in the one who thinks he knows. And he's talking about, you know, I'm in the garden for a nanosecond, and I become the Wikipedia of flora. I'm thinking, oh, that's funny. So I'm starting to laugh. You know, this voice is coming out. I'm starting to laugh at the computer. My husband must have thought I was crazy, because all of a sudden this voice is, you know, I'm laughing. I'm thinking, wow, that is the key, that we want to speak about higher consciousness in a way that we can not only laugh at the moments when our consciousness is contracted, that we can see that from a different perspective. And the endorphins, of course, when we're laughing on every page is very energizing. And Murphy kept throwing in these surprises, even to me, while writing these puns and these funny turns of phrase that just sort of almost cut the cord of getting really identified with this, oh, I'm a seeker and I'm not working enough, I'm not awake enough, all that. It just immediately just washes that all away, and you just are freed. So that's what I loved about the Murphy voice. And then for 4 months, every day, Murphy just wrote the book. I would get a suggestion. My husband said, why don't you write about what's going on in the spiritual marketplace? I thought, okay. So I'd look at things on the internet, you know, the popular books, and then Murphy would just write a chapter about it. You know, like, well,
Is Murphy like an alter ego?
I have no idea what this Murphy voice is. It's just, and then after those 4 months, I couldn't bring it back. In other words, you know, I try to write about, quote, suffering in a Murphy voice, but I was suffering too much to write it. In other words, that for some reason, that elevated state, that complete concentration on trying to speak honestly and in a light manner, actually channeling the energy, this higher energy, letting it run through me while writing, created a different vibration in that book. And that's all I can say about it, I think.
Okay. Well, that's just really cool. I mean, that's such a different aspect. I mean, I'm a writer.
Yes.
And I know how hard it is to get to write in a different voice. But so that's just very, very cool. Very cool. So maybe it would be best if you would read something out of the book so we could sort of get a feel for what this book is about.
Oh, sure. Let me just open it up. Right. I could read a couple of paragraphs. And of course, you don't get to see the drawings, which are fun, but you can see them on the website, franshawbooks.com. All right. Because we're interested in emotional well-being very much, I know that interests me, and I'm sure that interests you, Randy. I'm going to read from Chapter 3. Chapter 3 is called Lord and Murphy. It's a hyphenated words. And in this chapter, Murphy is talking about having an attention that allows one to become aware of a very subtle, I guess we could call it sacred energy that's animating us now. So that not only am I just aware of my body and its movements and in a neutral way, my posture right now as I'm sitting here, the expression on my face, there's also an animating force, obviously, that's behind everything, behind the voice that's speaking. And it's possible to become sensitive enough in one's attention to sort of join with that energy. It's the energy that's beyond form, and it's really what I am, I suspect. And so he talks about living in both streams at the same moment, the everyday life and this higher energy. And that would be what he considered to be, you know, a normal human being, if he could be living in this moment in both streams. I will try to read from Living in Both Streams. So he's talking about what it feels like to go back and forth from, you know, moments of higher consciousness to then you flip back into just ordinary reactive mode, and how difficult that is with relationships and, you know, having good relationships with people. So here's how he puts it. Heart closed, heart open, heart closed. like a rubber band that stretches wide, wider, and then springs back taut. People as things in my way, hard to take, the unbecoming behavior, my own included. Or, underneath it all, just people, fragile, tough, buffeted, trying, and a particle of the divine in every one, except those guys on the news. When in closed mode, I should be nicer, I should be kinder. I'd settle for neutral, or detesting the behavior, not the person, like you love a toddler, despite the messes. Sounds good, in theory, but how do you make yourself instantly feel a certain way? So I huff and puff to accept myself and others. Good luck pushing that boulder up the Himalayas. All sorts of manipulation ships going on there. And then, in the blink of an eye, the discovery. Focused attention yields to finer attention, opening into light-flecked space where there is no should. So vibrant that every breath is not mine, but life breathing me, an energy permeating whose very nature carries the fragrance of all loving. Murphy can't accept, but this energy can. A moment in it, and there is radical change, an altogether different creature here for the moment. A quality pouring through that compels attention. We are made for love, for a flowing through into the world. Meet Lord and Mercy, human being. Snap! Was that a rubber band? That's Mercy, really. That's Mercy.
Fran, that's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's Mercy.
It is. The way that you wrote that, it's brilliant. I have never, ever heard anything written so well, and it's such an interesting way to approach this concept, because you're right, people get really serious and heavy about it, about their spiritual journey, and that makes it stressful.
Yes.
And I think you want it to be fun, right?
Well, yes, because it's just when there's a possibility of actually moving to this next level, it's actually a new way of being alive. And I work with this every day, of course, because it's just the most exciting possibility that one's suffering, that one's stress can just transform into bliss. Mm-hmm. That if I notice that I'm closed, I'm contracted, I'm scolding myself, I'm upset about something, you know, these momentary reactions. There's a whole chapter in Lord of Mercy about called head case studies, about getting identified in different ways. It talks about four different seekers and different ways they get identified. And when we see it, it's like, oh, yes, I know what that feels like. And Murphy actually gives them funny medical names after he gives the little story for each seeker. And one of them is a woman, Margaret, in Fort Lauderdale, so you might enjoy that little story. You'll see that, how she gets identified when she's in the pool and this rude person annoys her. Anyway. Murphy will give up at the end of the little story. He'll put it in medical terms. He'll say, identificationalis judgmental lost focusitis. Or he'll say, identificationalis, I'm special, you're in my way, shoveitis, you know. So the different ways to get identified. But when Murphy puts that funny medical term on it, it's like, yeah, okay, so I got identified that way. My world, let's see what Murphy says. He says, is that the sun blazing gold across the horizon? I hadn't noticed because my world has shrunk to the size of a kumquat. So we need to laugh at these things that just take us down, because we can see, well, wait a minute, that's not the whole story. Where is this other quality of energy that I can feel flowing through my fingertips at this moment? What is animating this voice speaking? There's a subtle energy penetrating the body, moving through it, and I can perceive that because I'm a human being. It's my birthright. I've spent many decades, probably lifetimes, sort of practicing ways to remember that I can shift into this other vibrational, it's really like a vibration, there's no word for it, define a retention, capital A, higher intelligence, capital I, life force, chi, Tao. In the book, the word Lord in the title means this as well. So if I can shift into Lord, these sacred qualities that one experiences when one's awake, when I can be aware of this flow through me, become sensitive enough, totally receptive to it, then it's almost as if everything comes into balance. I can't make myself blissful. I can't make myself compassionate. I can't make myself loving, you know, instantly. But when this energy is moving through me and my own attention can join with it, it's not in my control, but when I can perceive it, be receptive to it, and begin to join with that, then the goodness of that energy just flows through me and changes everything. That's what's so exciting. That's the exciting part. To move, as Murphy says, from being in observing mode, observing my body and how it is, to into this receiving mode where there's actually a perception.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I read that you talk about how we don't need spiritual gurus in order to find our spiritual path and awaken and, you know, awaken to consciousness. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
This is after having worked 40 years with a spiritual guru. No. Now I'm going to make that pronouncement. Okay, no, you don't need it. Right. You know,
right.
I think people need, can go, all can experience all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. The key to this in the book is there's a chapter in which Murphy actually tries to address that question, and that like how do I in this maze of sages how do I find the real deal that can help me wake up? Because there's no question that what helped me the most, sort of in my journey this time around, was actually meeting a man who is awake. And when you're with someone who is awake, in their, you know, presence of that someone who's awake, it's as if it doesn't matter what they say. I mean, they could really be reading you the phone book. It doesn't matter what they say. Something about the way that that person is internally related, or I don't know, we'll use the word vibrate, but that's very woo-woo. But the way that person is internally related and what that person is in touch with somehow is contagious. In other words, something in me aligns in that way and begins to have a shift into a higher state. And you know it as surely as you know whether it's hot or cold outside. It's not an idea about a higher state. It actually, you are different than you were a moment ago. It can come and go because it requires a very active attention, but it is absolutely another way to live that's very exciting. So yes, a guru can be helpful if it's somebody who truly has no agenda for you, but then to be awake with you. No other agenda at all. But Murphy would say attention, capital A, is the teacher. This energy flowing through us is the teacher in you, the teacher in me. It's just how one can get there to be able to experience it. That is the teacher. The energy is what teaches me.
Interesting. Well, you know, people have to be, they've got to be receptive, because someone can be in that energy field and be very closed off and not pick it up. So I think, you know, you have to be ready to pick that up, don't you?
Absolutely. And sort of, every flower opens in its own time. I don't know what is right for you, Randy, or for X, Y, or Z. I'm lucky if I can, you know, pick out the right tool from my toolbox at any moment to help Fran move
right,
into
exactly.
another level. And so I work on all sorts of mindfulness tasks for years, and I do all sorts of things that help me relate all my parts together, because that is the key. When, in fact, there's a chapter in Lord Have Murphy called Wake Book, in which Murphy talks about, well, how do you actually, move into this other energy? And he writes it as if he were writing for, well, actually my 30-year-old millennial computer science genius, my son, because I wanted him to be able to read the book. He talks about this this software app called Wakebook. He calls it an opens the source app. And it has to do with really a two-prong approach. And it's so simple that it might, get past you, but he talks about it's as if there's to move into what he calls observing mode. And observing mode is simply that it's like a camera is on you at this very moment, as if your body is being seen. So it's just being seen, you know, it's under observation. It's reality show me, that's what Murphy says, so that, you know, this, the way my shoulders are, the angle of my knees, where my hands are, expression of my face, you know, the muscular tension, not changing anything, just staying exactly as I am. So it's as if this observing mode, you know, the mind begins to observe the body just as it is, so attention can begin to be grounded a little bit here, inhabiting this physical body with attention. And then he says the really exciting part is that sometimes when my mind can observe my body and my feelings join in because it's interested in continuing this observation, you know, this impression of my body in this shape, my ears are listening, my eyes are seeing, I have a sensation, an internal sensation of, you know, the top of my head, my feet on the chair, the soles of my feet. Sometimes if you can keep that going long enough, observing mode opens into receiving mode, and much subtler impressions can be perceived, maybe even my heartbeat, for example, or, you know, what it's like with breathing, what's happening with breathing. And when one moves into this receiving mode, this very, sometimes the quality of light around my body becomes different. You can particularly feel this in the palms of your hands and your fingertips, this sensation of life flowing through it. But you can feel it through your whole body and all around. You can almost see it, you know, in the trees if you're looking at it, or in another person's face when you're in this flow. And that's the interesting thing. When I have all three parts together, mind, body, feelings, pulled together through observing, unified, it permits perception of the subtle force that's animating us. And that's what the message of the book is.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Yeah, you know, that is, it's very helpful. Humor is a great way to learn. It's a great way. It just takes all the pretenses out of what you're trying to learn and just allows you to relax and take it in. So this book must have been a lot of fun to write, right?
It was so much fun. And, you know, when Murphy talks about consciousness, and I mean, he talks about this notion that, well, let's, as he would put it, if more people at more moments can be awake in this way, and that's actually what can move us from self-awareness, which a lot of us have at many moments from yoga and mindfulness practice and meditation. We have self-awareness, but it's recognizing the touch of this, you know, very subtle sacred energy flowing through us. That's what takes us across the threshold into awakening, so we know we're awake. And it has nothing to do with changing my thinking. It has nothing to do with the content of what I'm seeing in my body. It's nothing to do with content. It has nothing to do with thoughts. It has nothing to do with behavior manipulation, because all of that, in a certain way, can keep us at a certain level. It's about recognizing this animating force that's here, that's hidden from everyday mind. But you can, the more you become aware of it, the more you can become aware of it. And that's what takes us across the threshold into awakening. And he says that he doesn't even know how many people would need to change the planet, but that consciousness is contagious and it may not have to go viral. You know,
don't you feel that it is sort of going viral, though, that consciousness is going?
Well, Randy, you and I have never spoken to each other, and I have been completely mum about this for 15 years since my teacher passed, not even thinking this is something I could even speak about, let alone write about.
Amazing.
Put into the world. And you and I are speaking as if we're understanding something about what's happening that's absolutely a shift in interest and in consciousness on the planet now. Because how else could you and I speak to each other this way? I mean, how could you write a book that says Awaken from Life, and I say, oh, well, that's the book I'm writing. Same title.
You know, yeah, it's so true. And I know I mean, I've been like this my entire life, and I know I would, you know, meet people and I would start talking about stuff just to see where they were, and people would look at me like I was so strange. And I never had anybody to really talk to about this stuff because nobody got me. But that is so not true now. I mean, there are so many people that are thinking in this way, and I think there's this this rising up of people who are going to save this crazy world we live in. So this is just so important. It's so important. Do you, now that you've finished this book, does Murphy still talk to you?
I'm trying to get him to be a guest blogger on the website, franchalbooks.com. No, maybe he'll blog. I don't know. You know, my husband doesn't like anything I write now unless he says, have Murphy write it. You know, it's like he much prefers. He also has a doesn't like anything that, as Murphy put it, is, you know, smelly, that kind of smells of the spiritual marketplace. So he always says, you know, that's good, but why don't you have Murphy write it? Because he knows it's like a whole different free. Murphy's so free. He's kind of like an innocent. He is, and he's much nervier than I am. So, he'll just call it like it is. You know, I'm very sensitive. I mean, I know how difficult it is for people who are writing in the spiritual marketplace, for example, to not lose the connection with what's real because you're doing all this self promotion and then, you know, monetizing and things like that. I mean, where's the self, capital S, in self promotion? Well, sometimes it gets lost. So, but I know that difficulty because I've just had a couple of months experience with it. But Murphy's like an innocent. He always has this attitude, no matter what he finds in himself, these ways that he feels that he gets identified and falls down and stuff like that. And also when he sees other people in the spiritual marketplace who just do not feel genuine, who seem tremendously, you know, commercially driven and just trying to do whatever, you know, he feels it's a sacrilege. Anyway, but whatever it is, he always says, but I can work with that. I can work with that. I love that attitude. It's endearing. I wish I had that attitude, you know.
Oh, like, that's so rare, Fran. That's such a rare But you do, because Murphy is you. It's just a part of you that never came out before. It's got to be
out.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a spiritual entity to me. It just sounds Right. It sounds another facet of Fran Shaw. So, you do think like that, you know, which is very, very cool. How are your students responding to this book?
Yes, well, the book came out just as last semester ended. So my new semester starts at the end of this month. So a few people got to look at an advanced copy because it just came out, you know, a couple months ago. They, you know, and I do courses in writing creative nonfiction, so the few that have seen it, you know, laugh, and I was very nervous about sharing it, but, you know, they share their writing, so I have to share my writing, and they feel it's kind of like, how does Murphy put it, a breath of fresh prana, you know, it's like, he's right here. He can't help but speak. You know, it just clears away all of the things of what's going on, and it kind of like gets to the heart of what's really wonderful. And the drawings are so much fun. I mean, the drawings are kind of really you'll see them on the website. They're really quirky and weird. I think they're on Amazon.com also, some of the drawings for the book.
How did you find Bruce Sherman, who was the artist for your book? Did you know him?
Yes. Bruce, I know Bruce from, we were both in the same sort of spiritual discipline for many years together, and, you know, going to retreats and work periods and, you know, things like that for many years. And he was moving from his earlier profession and earlier incarnation into, he used to love to do pottery. He's doing pottery now. He's actually kind of blowing up as an artist in New York City now with his having single man pottery shows and things like that. Well, he had showed me when I was in his, he was making a new studio for himself, and I was looking at some of these drawings. I said, you know, I have to write a book. Let me take a bunch of these drawings with me. Maybe I can write captions for them so you can have a book of your drawings. He said, that would be great, because he knew I'm a writer. And but then when I saw that, so I actually had the drawings before Murphy appeared. As you said at the beginning of the show, it was something he had written alongside one drawing of a kneeling man, and it said, you know, a very funny drawing of a kneeling man, and it said, Lord have Murphy in the side. And that, I said, that's funny. You know, that gave me Murphy here to start the book. So the interesting thing is after those 4 months of this Murphy voice coming through, so these 10 chapters in Lord have Murphy, I came home, I had these 40 drawings by Bruce on the computer, and I placed each of the 40 drawings somewhere in the book in about 2 hours, almost as if they were, really, it's like 2 hours. I placed 40 drawings, and they all seemed to fit somewhere in the book that got written, and I hadn't looked at the drawings for 4 months. So very strange, very interesting, meaning they were meant to go together. And we even made Murphy a wannabe artist, as well as a wannabe writer in the book, so that there's even a program of, as if these drawings were Murphy's drawings, and there's even a program cover for an art show in New York at the end of the book. So Murphy's art show is called, and all these are all, and you can even see what the art looks like. The program cover is called, I think it's something like, let me think what it says, 47 Ink Drawings of the Wind at Midnight. So they're all blank canvases, right? They're all dark blank canvases. 47
Interesting.
Blank canvases.
Oh, right. Wow. So now that you know Murphy, is he going to influence your teaching skills or teaching methods, I should say?
Well, you know, I've always been doing writing experiments with my students. I have a book called 50 Ways to Help You Write. That has a lot, and even the book before this one, Writing My Yoga, has writing experiments. It's a way to bring another quality of energy into your writing and doing what we call free flow writing, which allows, it's not just from the little front part of the mind where you're just kind of, you know, regurgitating and repeating other people's thoughts and your beliefs. It's being coming into an energy which you're completely free of beliefs, because there's not even any content in this quality of energy that you can live in at moments. That's all gone. It's like newborn pure awareness. And having, so I do little exercises with my students. Maybe we'll do outside, or we'll lie down on the floor, or we'll do them in the classroom, whatever, that create a new condition in which we're animated, very, very enlivened by this contact with another energy, and then words freely flow. So to add to that now would be to see whether there's a way I can find the way to help them write humor in that mode, you know what I'm saying? Because that is what happened with the Murphy book. Being in this another state, this altered state, this elevated state as often as possible during the day, and allowing that kind of like that light touch, the humor that one can see about oneself and what one's around one to come onto the page also. I haven't tried that experiment, but it should be a very interesting fall at the University of Connecticut, because I'm going to try to see whether I can come up with some writing experiments that encourage that kind of writing. And my students, you know, love to write humor, so let's see whether we can do it humor with a difference, and that would be very, very wonderful. I will try. I will see what happens.
Well, I wish I was your student, because that sounds like lots of fun, lots of fun. So you teach, but you teach writing from a level of awareness. Can you explain, you know, what that is, what awareness writing is?
I would like to help my students, who, of course, come into the classroom usually very much burdened, you know, by many of them have part-time jobs or full-time jobs, and they want to write, and they want to, you know, learn, they want to get their degrees. They come in with, you know, limited time and, you know, attention that's being pulled every which way. I mean, they actually have to maybe even shut their laptops when they're in the class for a few minutes, and they have to actually turn their phones off for a few minutes when they're in the classroom. So that what happens in that classroom needs to be something as powerful and as exciting and as demanding in a certain way as the rest of life. Or maybe it could be, if I can see when I look around the classroom with some attention, can see if it's exhaustion that I'm seeing in faces, because sometimes it is. And then we have to simply get up and do stretching and breathing and smiling just to get the energy to a place where we're all connected in that unity. We're all looking at each other. We're all talking with each other. We're smiling at each other. Sometimes I have to just bring a smile up from the toes physically and look at each face and bring it up. And then it's different. Then we're together in something. And then the class is very open. So already we've come into a unity. That's the only way I can explain that, you know, with no one left behind.
Right.
So then I might do a simple sensing exercise with students, a relaxing exercise, because relaxing the body intentionally, letting a wave of relaxation, for instance, flow down from the top of the head and, you know, through the face and throat, not as fast as I'm saying it, but right down through the torso and into the legs.
Right.
Sometimes filling the body with relaxation makes it possible for then people to expand awareness. I do a lot of exercises in which we go somewhere and then we begin to listen just to the sounds of life around us, and listening with each ear, with the right ear,
right,
the left ear.
You're a true gift to your students, Fran, because I have two adult children who have been through college, and there's so many professors out there that are just tired and they could care less, you know. Just what a breath of fresh air you are. We're 36 minutes into the hour, and I wanted to know if there's anything that you wanted to talk about for the next, say, 5 minutes, or 3 to 5 minutes, that we may not have covered.
That's a good question.
How do we get your book?
That's not a bad idea to say something. Yes. So this book plus two other books on attention, the one before this book, which I'll mention in a minute, it's all on franshawbooks.com. franshawbooks.com. And you can read many, many excerpts. There's also all the books are on Amazon.com. And the book before Lord Have Mercy is the book of called Notes on the Next Attention. And that book is really, that is the real deal, because that is also not my voice, but that is recollected talks of the teacher who the one I spoke about earlier, the awakened person that I met who has long since passed. And I recollected from my journals from different retreats with him in Switzerland on mountaintops and things like that. I tried to remember because I wrote down in my journal the things that were absolutely most, most helpful to me in shifting into this other vibration. And I didn't really want to publish them. And then at a certain point, it was like, well, you know, there's nothing that he's written that's out there. How would anybody even have a taste of this? Because for some reason, these different talks, and they weren't formal talks, they were just things that he said, you know, during the week, seeing the condition we were all in. You know, he'd say these things. And they're not about content. They're not about ideas at all. They carry a vibration. This is a very, very gifted person speaking about consciousness, because if there's not in any, you know, religious or even spiritual terms, somehow this man could speak and something is conveyed as a vibration. So that's the book before this one, The Next Attention. And so the Lord Have Mercy is sort of how you can live in the next attention. It's the next level for us. We touch it at moments, but we don't recognize it. And there are many pathways that prepare us for a higher level. And we just don't quite realize yet that beyond concepts and techniques, there's a finer attention. As I say, a sacred energy coming into us, recognizing its touch, the touch of that other energy that's animating me. Recognizing its touch is what takes us from self-awareness across the threshold into awakening. And actually the whole idea here is just to be ourselves and free in this attention, because it brings freedom in a moment, freedom from fear and being anxious, free to be just as I am, you know, giving all of my attention to this quality that I can taste that's flowing through me. And I know people taste it and they just maybe don't recognize it. I see people coming out of yoga class. When I come out of yoga class, they are absolutely in a different space, you know, enormously patient and polite and sort of flowing with something. And if only we could recognize what you're flowing with right now, if I can intentionally tune into that, then I become a balanced human being and I am absolutely living life in a new way. I think my teacher said that when we're, you know, in this other attention, in this finer attention, moment by moment, in a certain way, I'm invulnerable to the forces of this world. You know, I'm not in a reactive state. I'm not in automatic pilot mode. It's like what Tolle would talk about, you know, Eckhart Tolle, being fully present, being absolutely fully present. And the way I know whether I'm fully present is whether if in this moment I'm also aware, along with, you know, the friend that is talking, this other quality that is animating the one that is talking.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And from that comes my best, from that absolutely comes my best action in the world and my best action for others when I have a taste of and I'm living in both streams.
You're truly an inspiration to all of us. And, you know, and I can hear in your voice, you're just light and easy. And it's just such a wonderful way to be. We should all be able to be that light and easy. And I guess it's something we should all aspire to. And Murphy can help us do that, I guess. I would say so. But we are really out of time now, Fran. So I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. But I want to thank you so much for sharing all this incredible inspiration with us and being my guest today, my wonderful guest today.
Well, thank you so much, Randy. I mean, I know we can live in a new way. This is so near to me. This is like the air I breathe, this quality of energy that's animating me and animating all us. We're just on the brink of discovering it, how to mobilize our attention so we can open to this whole other level of being alive. And I just wish this quality of awakening for myself to continue because I'm so grateful for you and for all the listeners, you know, to see if this can be come possible, you know, in our daily lives, because I'm just
great way. What a great way to end the show. Thank you, Fran.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. So unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. And I want to tell you about a brand new Facebook page I just created. I am an expert on narcissistic personality disorder issues, and I just started a Facebook page called Compassionate Support for Narcissistic Abuse, so I hope I'll see you there. I'm going to offer you a lot of information, a lot of support, a lot of help. And if you enjoy listening to my shows, I would hope you would be a show follower, and then you will be advised of all the upcoming programming that I have, which is always phenomenal, just as this show with Fran Shaw was. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.